Hello, this is Kevin Doherty, your host for Just Thinking. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for 806 Technologies. And today I have an amazing guest, Joe Sanfilippo. Joe, I met a couple of times. I met him in San Diego at the AASA conference. We met briefly in the hallway, and then I got to visit with him more extensively a month or two ago in Houston at the ACET conference, which is for Compensatory Educators of Texas, and he brought down the house. So I'm going to ask him to introduce himself to you, although I'll be surprised if there are many people out there that haven't at least heard of him, if not had the opportunity to hear him speak, read his work. So Joe, for those few individuals who may not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I appreciate the opportunity, Kevin. And there's a ton of people who don't have any idea who I am. So that's totally fine, which is fine, because it's just more opportunity to get out and talk and have a good time. So my name is Joe Sanfilippo, and I recently retired after spending 26 years in the building, and the last 12 of those years was as superintendent of schools in Fall Creek, Wisconsin, home of the Fall Creek Crickets. And we were had a great experience there. I taught the elementary school. I taught the elementary school. I coached at the high school, and then I was a school counselor for the district, as for a different district as well, and got a chance to kind of see different parts of the building and before becoming a principal and then eventually a superintendent. So that's kind of the road that we took to get here, and it's been super fun since.
Speaking of the road that you took, if people aren't following you currently on social media, you are often literally on the road, walking down the road with an iPhone or whatever device you have in hand, recording as you share some thoughts of the day. So that's where I was first introduced to you, was through social media and your various walks. And often it looked very cold wherever you were relative.
It's freezing. Zero today, for goodness sakes. It is cold. I was out this morning, and I walked for an hour this morning, and then I came in, and it took probably at least an hour for my hands to warm up. And like, I can still feel it. They're a little bit like, they're not right yet. So that's kind of,
well, if it makes you feel any better, it's 25 degrees in Dallas, Fort Worth today. So
yeah, here. It's freezing there for you. I hope you're going to be okay.
I'm originally from Boston. So,
I'm used
to this weather. But so I wanted to focus today a little bit on this whole idea of transformation and changing and moving things in a positive direction for schools. But there are three questions that I'd like to pose, and then we can kind of build the conversation around that. But the first question comes out of something that you and I talked about a little bit before the podcast this afternoon. But this whole idea of you can't do the work alone. Sometimes we feel like an island unto ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know I did as a principal many times. Mm-hmm. So do you mind speaking to that a little bit, Joe?
Yeah, I think a lot of times that we kind of put ourselves in a situation where we try to do the work alone for a couple reasons. One is because, you know, we think we can do it better than trying to help somebody else help us do it. And so I think it's easier for us to do it than to help tell somebody how to help us do that, which, you know, is a short term, not even a win, but a short term gain in that you get it done faster. But at the same time, you tend to pile up stuff, and then all of a sudden we put ourselves in a different situation. And I think the other thing is just like from a framework perspective, I shouldn't say it like that, from a just a situational perspective, education is pretty isolating. I mean, you are in a room with 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 kids, whatever it is, and you're the only adult in that room. And that gets really isolating if we allow it to. And then the next room, there's 25 kids in a room with one adult. And, you know, the only time you get a chance to connect and talk is when people are leaving classrooms or coming into classrooms or leaving school or coming into school. And, or it's before a PD that you don't want to be at, but at the same time, you got to go to it. And so like all of these little informal conversations are the only time that you really have to connect with people. And if we're not more intentional about what those look like, then we blink and it's, you know, May, and then we blink again and we've been in the building for 26 years. So I think if we can figure out ways to help take care of each other along the way, then I think we put ourselves in a better situation. And that means you have to be actively engaged in having conversations with people that are, you know, that help everyone move forward, not only professionally, but personally too, to make sure that they feel seen and heard and valued in that space.
Do you think trust comes into play at all in any of this for teachers?
Yeah, I think it's probably the biggest thing, to be really honest, Kevin. But I think what ends up happening is we don't allow the time it takes to trust, or one thing happens where it reduces trust, and then it's a really tough hill to climb to get back to that level where we can trust each other. So we talk a lot about this whole mentality of every interaction matters, because every interaction could be the one that they talk about for the rest of their lives. But when I live in that mentality, knowing and understanding that this interaction might be the one that's talked about, then I treat that conversation a little bit differently. I don't need to love that that's the situation that we're in, but if I acknowledge that it's real, I treat it differently. And then therefore, when I walk into the conversation, my mentality is better. Therefore, when I leave that conversation, it feels better. And I've developed a little bit more trust, you know, with the people that we're trying to lead. So that's just a consistent process that I think you have to be really invested in. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have a bad day. It just means that the more consistent you are, the better chance you're going to have when it comes down to building momentum.
Like you, I've been a classroom teacher. I've been a principal, and I knew what it took to build trust in my classroom, students with me. Part of that was adopting the mindset that I have, in many ways, more to learn from my students than they do from me. It wasn't all about me telling them everything that they don't know. There's a lot that they can teach me. And part of that's about who they are and what makes them tick. What are their interests and so forth? Because that's going to help me be more effective when I'm sharing the things that I need to share with them, especially for accountability purposes. And so that's an important thing. And then I tried to parlay that into being a principal and do the same thing with my teachers and model that for them in their classrooms with their students. I have a question, though. I'm going to go off course here a little bit, though, with this whole matter of a school board, for instance, because I've seen instances through my years, I've been in this for 40 years, where you may have a principal who's really trying hard to establish that tone of trust and respect and so forth, but they're getting some pushback. Sometimes from a board, one or two or more members or whatever, they heard something in the neighborhood or at a soccer game or whatever, and then some pressure gets placed on that principal to adjust or change what they're trying to do. Do you have any experience with that? Do you hear about that when you're out in the field?
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably one of the biggest things that happens with, you know, the disconnect between school boards and superintendents, or school boards and principals, or school boards and buildings. And it's that idea that when people don't know what you do, they make up what you do. So what we try to do is get out in front of it by telling stories in a way that's going to allow people to not only see themselves in the story, but also be able to celebrate it with everybody else. So if the only time that you ever talk to your board is when you need something and you screw that up, like, it's a problem. But when we put ourselves in a spot where we're constantly having conversations with the people in these spaces, we have a better chance to get the desired outcome that we're looking for. So it's not just the one-time thing, because if the relationship, if the communication is transactional as opposed to relational, then all that we talk about when it comes down to moving forward is, what do I get when I say this, or what do I not get when I don't say this, or whatever. But if it's relational and you're trying to bring them along for the ride, they're going to feel better about it, and you're going to feel better about it. I think about it from state legislation as well. Like, from a legislator's perspective, like, I think the idea that we have to keep in mind from a political perspective, not to get political at all, but I think the one political thing that I will say is that, you know, people, when it comes down to people judging what we do in school, a lot of times those people are judging without knowing and understanding what happens in the space. And so what we have to understand is that they're going to make judgments. Like this, as we live in a world where people judge. And I don't love that, but we do. So if they're going to make judgments about me based on what's happening in Fall Creek, Wisconsin, I want them to make judgments about me based on what's happening in Fall Creek, Wisconsin, not what happened in Fall Creek, Wisconsin 25 years ago when they were in school. So for us, in our perspective, if we're always telling the story, it doesn't automatically equate to people at the from a political standpoint doing what we want. But at the same time, when we talk about it and they don't get what we're looking for, they have to make a stand. Don't let them hide behind, I never knew that that was a problem. Because they will, right? Make them stand up and say, I don't support that perspective. And okay, if you don't support the perspective, all right, okay. But at least you're going to say it out loud and not hide behind, well, you know what? I haven't heard that that's an issue at all. I mean, I don't know where that's coming from. Never was a problem when I was in school. You know what I mean? So I think we have to be real cognizant of saying that we're going to be out there in front and just talking about it. That does not guarantee that they're going to do what we want. But at least we can put our head on a pillow at night and say we're doing everything that we can to give ourselves the best.
Yeah, that's a great segue into something we touched on a little bit before heading into this conversation. But the whole idea of we're not going to change how they talk about us until we change how we talk about us. So you've kind of already been touching on that a little bit, but you want to take it a little bit further?
Yeah, I think an idea that we try to keep in mind here a lot, because when people don't change the way, you know, people aren't going to change the way they talk about schools until we change the way that we talk about schools. That's the thing that we talk about a lot. And the idea that we have to keep in mind is the way that we talk. So a lot of times what happens when you don't get a chance to celebrate the great things and people don't feel seen and heard and valued, they start to get themselves into this little hole, or they close their door, or they don't get a chance to see the great things that are going on around them because they're so fixated on what's going on right in front of them, because they have to, because they're overwhelmed. Okay. So when we get into that spot, then people start saying things like, I'm just a teacher. I'm just a custodian. I'm just a paraprofessional. I'm just a cook. I'm just a nurse. I'm just a bus driver. I'm just. When you say that, when you say that you're just, when you say that you're only, you devalue all of your work. But not only do you devalue your work, you give the person that you're talking to license to do exactly the same. So if we're the ones that are out here saying that we're just this and we're just that, then why wouldn't they change? Why would they change what how they talk about us if we're not going to change the way that we talk about us? And if the only thing we do is change the way that we talk about us, we give everybody in the room a better chance. And that's all this is, Kevin, is just to give you the best chance. I don't have all the answers. I'm certainly not going to pretend to. But I think that if we can give people that we lead the best chance to feel successful when they come in every day, then hopefully they'll walk out feeling like they've accomplished something, because we live and work in an industry where you don't get the immediate gratification for the work that you do. Think about it. How many times have you had a kid come back to you 5, 10, 15, 20 years after you had them in class, and they stop you somewhere and they're like, hey, you know what? I was thinking about you. Like, you know what? You were a really good teacher, like a really good teacher. I really loved having you in class. And what you wanted to do is just grab onto that guy and say, hey, man, like you could have said something. Like you were always here, but you could, but they don't. And then we're left to wonder. And when you're left to wonder, you fill in the gaps. And so if you're not filling in the gaps with good stuff, you start to talk negatively about the work because it's overwhelming. And I want you to lie. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to make sure that we can help people feel valued in the spot so they don't feel like they're just anything.
It's funny on that, the delay piece that you were just talking about. I actually had a little exchange on Facebook Messenger last evening with a student who's turning 50 years old. Lives in France, and I taught elementary school to this young girl at the time, and I used to teach French as motivation. So if you'll be really good, I'll teach you some French words. And like, Mr. D, do you want to learn French? I'm like, nope, not until we finish this math lesson. Then we'll learn French, right? And so I teach them French. They loved it. We played Simon Says in French and all this. Well, now she's fluent in French and she's writing me letters in French and telling me, can you believe I'm 50 years old? I'm like, that means I'm at least 51. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, right. Really? Right. Just barely.
So
right.
Imagine that. But but I wanted to touch on this just too, because that always resonated with me through the years. And I mentioned before that Ray McNulty's been on this podcast a couple of times, good friend. And Ray approached me at a conference in Austin several years back. He said, Kev, yes, Ray. He said, what do you think about we rename teacher? Nothing wrong with the teacher, you know, it's nothing like the just a teacher thing, but he's like, really the job that they're doing is they're engineering the learning of every learner that they serve. I'm like, I love that. I love the idea of thinking not that an engineer is more important or more special or more valuable than a teacher, because a lot of history in that title and in that name. That being said, though, I really like the idea of reconsidering what is it that a teacher does, and this whole idea of engineering the learning of every learner they serve. If I have 25 or 225, my job is to engineer the learning of every learner. That's pretty amazing. So I wanted to just throw that out to you and see if that, you know, resonated positively, negatively, or not at all with you.
Well, I think it resonates because it's right. But I think the question becomes like, what's the goal of that? Like, what's the goal? So we're going to change the concept or the title or whatever to whatever we want to do. What's the goal? Well, if the goal is to be seen in a different light, are there other things that we can do to be seen in a different light without trying to uphill battle a term that's been around since the dawn of time? You know what I mean? And I think the concept is perfect. Like the concept is right on. How do you help people feel like they're engineering the learning of others? And I think a lot of times that's by, you know, giving them agency to understand that they're empowering those kids, they're empowering those young adults or whatever the case may be, but they're at the heart of what that looks like. So they're actually developing what it looks like and hopefully putting all of those kids and all those young adults in a place where they feel like they're doing a lot of the work on their own.
I love it. You know, it's so funny. We're talking about just a teacher or just a paraprofessional, just a custodian. And this podcast is called Just Thinking, right?
Yeah, Just Thinking. I didn't even think about it until right now. That's funny.
The name of it now.
That's right.
Thank you, Joe. but speaking that's right. I'm of here that, for you. So not just the thought that counts. That's something else that we were touching on a little bit earlier. So the idea that it's not just the thinking. It's not just the thought that counts. So speak to us a little bit more about that.
I think that the title, you know, I think starts the conversation, right? Like if it's just thinking, it starts the conversation. But if that's all you do, if it's just, I mean, then we got to talk because now we're getting any better. Like it's the one time you saw the guy tell the jokes. It's the one time that you read the book and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's just, you know, 6 years later, you're like, we used to do this one thing. We should bring it back. And then it takes longer to bring back when I never should have left to begin with. So I think when it comes down to the thought and the action, one of the things that's been really important to us is making sure that we understand that it's not the thought that counts. It's the action on the thought that counts. So when you think about like my hope is after people hear this podcast, it doesn't just get pushed off to the side and say, okay, it was, you know, hey, it was great. And then, but if they can do something with it, now we've got some actionable items. So it's that power of intention, right? Like it's that red car mentality. You know what I mean? The red car, when the people say like, hey, you know, if I asked you how many red cars you saw on your way to work today, you're not going to be able to tell me. But if I said to you, I'm going to give you $1,000 for every red car you see on your way home, you're going to pay more attention to red cars. So what's the action on it that allows you to build momentum for those that you lead? And I think we do a lot of talking in schools, like a lot of talking. But if it doesn't lead to anything that makes it better for the people in that space, then what are we really doing? I see people talking about like that, you know, we want to treat schools like Disneyland or something like that. You know, like, okay. I get it. It should be fun, right? But I had never been to Disneyland where they gave me a physics test on the way out the door. And that's happening, right? Like, so, I mean, I understand that part of it. But at the same time, it's not just about making kids feel like they're at an amusement park or out of this or out of that. Remember who's helping them feel that way. It's the adults. So if the adults don't feel valued, if the adults don't feel like they're at Disneyland, how are they going to help the kids feel like they're at Disneyland, right? So what does it look like to make sure that they feel like everybody feels like they're part of the process moving forward and they can find joy in that process? I mean, I don't dispute for a second that schools should be a place of enjoyment and excitement and energy and hope. I don't dispute that for a second. But when you don't see that every day, it becomes harder to be the deliverer of hope and energy and excitement when you're the adult in that spot. So I think it really comes down to the action that we take as opposed to just, you know, the quote that we threw on the wall.
You know, as you're saying that, it made me think of another personal experience as a classroom teacher. And I was going through my master's work and studying the work of John Dewey. And that quote, "School is not just preparation for life, school is life," hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, oh my word, that's what I believed innately, but I didn't have the words to articulate it. And I had a student in my classroom at that time, every day, all day long, head on his desk, kind of like the Eeyore thing. And so finally, we're doing a little play in the classroom. It's something in our reading series. And he wanted to be the grandmother. And I said, no, Adam, I got so many boys' parts, so many girls' parts. You know, I got to distribute them. I want to be the grandma. Adam, no, I want to be there. Okay, fine. You're the grandmother. So he gets up on the stage I had built in my classroom. And he has timing, comic timing. He has the voice. He has the gestures, everything. The other students and I are sitting there watching this crying. He is so funny. This kid who never lifted his head off the desk. Never. Not even in, you know, when he would go out for resource and so forth. I asked that teacher. This was his day, all day, until that moment. Because I really thought, if school is just about preparing them for that physics test or that next grade level or that next job or whatever it is, if that's all it's about, just getting ready, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, because that young man was killed tragically in a car accident. The next Easter, his mom fell asleep at the wheel and he was killed in the accident. She lived. And those words have just been ingrained in my soul. School is not just preparation for life. School is life. And it's not all going to be enjoyment. Life is not enjoyment every moment of the time, but we want it to be more of the time than not, right? So anyway, I didn't mean to digress, but...
No, I understand it. Well, and I think the thing about the kid in particular is that you found a way to engineer the learning to a spot that he was going to be successful, and he was. And nothing can take that away from your class, from the experience that was given to your class, given to him. And like, that's one of the things you got to kind of hang your hat on, is what you and your class gave him in that moment is certainly something he did not forget.
But don't you love that he insisted?
I agree with that. Yeah, he was willing.
He kept pushing me. I kept pushing back. I'm the teacher. No, this is the way it's going to go. These are the rules. These are the boundaries and all this. And he just pushed and pushed. And that became the catalyst. I could not shut that kid up for the rest of the year.
He was, all right. Oh, there. Well, that's good. That's what you want. Like, that's what you want. You find your voice and let it roll. I mean, that's what we want for kids. And I think that's something that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Yeah, Joe, since the title is, at least for the moment, Just Thinking.
it's got to stay that. It's great.
So since that's the title, is there anything else about which you're just thinking that we didn't get a chance to touch on, at least in this particular episode? Yeah. I imagine we will get back together at some other point. But anything else that's just kind of burning in your mind right now or in your soul?
I think the thing that's really kind of stuck with me recently is I'm almost finished with Mel Robbins' Let Them book, which is as good a book as I've read. There are two books this is the second. The first book, The Power of Moments by Dan Heath, is, I think, the best, for me, the best motivational book I've ever read in terms of how you stay intentional in the moment. But Mel Robbins is just like, this book is crazy good. And the thing that resonated with me, two things that resonated with me, the one in particular, is the way that we in this industry, in schools, from school to school, from classroom to classroom, tend to compare each other a lot. And I think just saying that you shouldn't compare yourself is a tough lift, right? Because I think inherently you're going to. But what she was saying in the book is the difference between comparison as a teacher and comparison as torture. And a lot of times we live in that torture comparison mentality as opposed to letting that comparison teach you how to do things in a different capacity and get some momentum for what you're doing. And I think when you look at somebody else and feel like you're not good enough, you tend to fall back. When you look at somebody else and say, I really love what they're doing, I'd like to do something like that, that you puts you in a different spot. So I think that's kind of what I've been just thinking about for a while, just because that's kind of what I'm listening to on my walks right now. And I think it's absolutely brilliant, to be really honest. I think the whole book is phenomenal, to be really frank.
You know, it's so ironic. I was just introduced to Mel through a Facebook post just last week, started following on LinkedIn and so forth. And I listened to this one particular podcast and I was blown away. I'm like, why have I not heard of this person before? And it was incredibly impactful. She was with a Harvard, psychologist, and it was just,
yeah,
it was so.
That was just the part that I listened to. So that was when, yeah. And the idea of like people's mentality right away, the pushback and trying to get people to change, and that whole concept is like you're not gonna. So what can you do? What can you control to help them, to influence their internal, growth and want them and have them want to do the work. And it's just the concepts are so simplistic. At the same time, they're phrased in a way that is just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I love it. Yeah, she's just very straight talking and very easy to listen to. So if people wanted to get a hold of you, if they're not already following you, do you want to give them some places to look? I can add some links and so forth when I put this out there, but or about your books or anything like that. So,
hey, you find me online anywhere, all the socials, Joe_Sanfilippo and all those, and, or go to jsanfilippo.com, shoot me a text or an email. That'll, sign up and just get in touch with me there. And hopefully I can help out if there's anything that you need.
Love it. Joe, thanks for being part of Just Thinking today. I love the conversation and look forward to the next time we get to visit.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Take care, everybody.
See ya.